Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
My guest today is Joe Pellegrino. He is an author and teacher and somebody who has impacted a lot of lives already, but he's got a new book out. It's titled Fathers Say. This talks about the importance of giving the gift of blessing to your children. What dads say is really, really important. Joe, welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Jim. It's greatly appreciated to be here.
Now, I want us to talk about a number of things that are in this book, but let me begin by asking you, why did you feel that there was a need for this book?
Oh, that's easy. The statistical data is overwhelming that dads have checked out. Mm-hmm. And I believe that when you start looking at the last 40 or 50 years, we went from, you know, father knows best to father knows nothing in one small leap of a generation.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what we have seen. And I take it from, you know, Robert Young in Father Knows Best in the 50s, and then the next one we see is Archie Bunker in All in the Family.
Yeah.
And since Archie Bunker, we have seen that type of man depicted in most shows mm-hmm. on television. And that's the world view of what a man looks like today. He's a fool, he's bumbling, mm-hmm. and he's not someone that a child should respect. And I have a real problem with that.
Well, I'm glad you do. I certainly agree with your assessment of the problem. It is systemic. It is throughout our society. And it's not just outside the church. Talk about mm-hmm. within the church, the impact this has had.
Well, I think if you look at numbers, sheer numbers in a church, you will see that the number of men attending church are significantly lower. As a matter of fact, we talk about the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day,
mm-hmm.
and it's such a stark contrast. On Mother's Day, Mom wakes up. She goes to her two boys who haven't been going to church in a while and says, "It's Mother's Day. Would you please come?" "Sure, Mom, we'll come." She goes to the church. They give her a nice rose. She sits down in the pew like a queen, and then the pastor talks about being a Proverbs 31 woman and blesses them. That's Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Father's Day, if anybody even remembers what day it is, the man wakes up. He says, "That's my day. You know, I'm going to play golf today. I'm going to do this today." And, of course, the children say, "Well, that's what Dad wants, so we don't have to go to church anyway."
Mm-hmm.
But if they do, if he does go to church, what happens is he sits down, and the pastor starts pointing a finger and saying, "Men, we need to do this, and we need to do that, and we need to do better at this." It's just a stark contrast between a mother and a father.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that all the time. And that's why Father's Day, most people can't even tell you what day it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lost our way, Jim. We have lost our way.
Now, in the midst of that, rather than just wringing our hands and furling our brows and saying, you know, there's really nothing to do, is there? It's just too late. You believe that there are things that men can do in order to make a difference in our culture.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, the book Fathers Say is about celebrities and the powerful words spoken to them by their fathers. And these are simple phrases. Each chapter has a simple phrase. For example, "We need the Bible every day." That was Lauren Green McAfee's father, who is one of the Hobby Lobby owners.
Mm-hmm.
And these are powerful words that stayed with them. But here's the most important thing about words that come out of a man's mouth. They mean nothing unless they're backed up by action. And that's what excites me, is when I see a man who not only speaks the truth, but also lives it, it's powerful. And
mm-hmm.
and what we believe at Legacy Minded Men, which is the ministry that we founded several years ago, is that any man, no matter where you are, can change.
Mm-hmm.
That they can go through a paradigm shift of being maybe not the best father in the world to a man who can absolutely be a powerful legacy lifter. And that's what we're hoping for, and that's what we're seeing.
Amen. One of the men whose story you share in this book is Alex Kendrick. And I just watched the movie Courageous with a couple of fatherless students at our children's home that my wife and I run. We work with kids from all over the country who have a problem in the home they didn't create. Now, sometimes dad's not there because he never was a part of the child's life. Sometimes dad is not there because he died or because he went to prison or because there was some other circumstance that removed him from the child's life. But we saw again how vital the role of a dad is. And what would you tell someone who struggles emotionally because their dad was absent from his or her life?
Well, there's a, by the way, absenteeism is not about not necessarily being there. Sometimes they're there and they're absent.
Yeah.
So we need to be clear on that. But what do I tell them? Well, I'll be honest with you. The reality is this. There is a Father in heaven who loves us no matter what.
Amen.
And ultimately, he is the only father figure that will never let us down.
Amen.
Now, in truth, what happens is when we have a bad father experience or a daddy wound, if you will, the first thing we do is we blame God for it. You gave me this father. But here's the truth, Jim. We are not born winners. We are not born losers. We are born choosers. And that man, that father, chose to not be a good dad. Just like I chose to be a good dad. Even though my father was a very good man, he wasn't necessarily a very good father. He really didn't teach me much.
Mm-hmm.
But you know something? He did better than his father, who came off the boat from Italy, and he taught his son as best as he knew, just like my father taught me as best as he knew. And now I am recognizing that, okay, I want to go farther than both those men went.
Yes.
And I'll give you a great example. My dad was a man who never told me he loved me, and I know there's a lot of people out there who have dealt with this.
Mm-hmm.
One day, I'm watching a video series called The Blessing by John Trent, which is a powerful book. And John basically talked about receiving the blessing from your father. That particular day at church, we were going to be leaving and going down to see my parents down the shore in New Jersey. And I told my wife, today's the day he's going to tell me he loves me. I drove down there. We had a nice time. And when it came to leaving, I recognized I never told him I loved him either. And you know something, Jim? It was really hard to say it the first time because it was so unnatural for me. But I said, Dad, bye, love you. And he shook his head. And my mother, as she normally would do, she spoke for him. And she said, Joey, you know he loves you. I said, Mom, I just want to hear it one time, just once.
Yeah.
And he said, I love you. That was the only time I ever heard it in my life until about a month before he died, when he was lying in a pool of bile on the bathroom floor, and my mother called me and my son to come and help pick him up, pick him up, clean him up, put him in bed. And I said, Dad, I love you. And he says to me, I love you too. And then he said to me, who are you? He didn't know who I was. So, Jim, I only count that first time as being real.
Yeah.
But you know something? It meant something to me. I needed to hear those words. And I know there's a lot of men out there who have never heard those words, and a lot of men who say, I don't really care. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Amen.
I know. It matters.
Amen. Amen. And I think, as you've just shared very poignantly your own story, it is very helpful for people to realize that that wound they have is not one that other people can't relate to, because there are a lot of folks who have that same kind of pain, that same kind of experience. And knowing that, knowing it's not just me, I'm not the only one who feels this way, I'm not the only one who longed to hear that expression of love, those words of blessing, and didn't receive it. That's helpful. I was talking about a year ago with a man who... I don't want to go into too many details except to say that he has only recently come to know the Lord, and I have told him over and over and over again, I love you. And he finally, after years of hearing that from me, he finally said to me, I love you too. And that meant a ton to me that he would reciprocate that way. And so I told him that, and I thanked him, and the tears started coming. And he said, I said to him, I realize I'm probably one of the only people in your life you've said that to, apart from your mom and dad. And he said, I didn't say that to my mom and dad. And I said, I'm so sorry. And he said, the reason is I never felt that they loved me. Now, there are lots of people out there who long to be loved, as we all do, but they've never really felt that they could trust the people who were supposed to love them,
right,
either because of neglect or abuse or whatever wounding took place. And what you said earlier is right at the heart of the only true solution, and that is learning to trust our Heavenly Father, knowing that He is the only perfect Father. He
That's
is
right.
the only one who will never fail us. I try and teach the kids who come to our children's home here at Ware's Valley Ranch that if you learn to trust in Him, He will never leave you or forsake you. I'd love to be able to tell all the kids who come here, I'll never leave you. I'll always be here for you. You can always
right.
count on me. I don't do that because I don't lie. I had open heart surgery last year. I can't tell people I'll always be here for you.
Sure.
I can introduce them to someone who will always be here for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my mission. And with my own seven kids, that's been my mission, to teach them to trust their Heavenly Father.
So can I expand upon that a little bit?
Absolutely.
We do, at Legacy Minded Men, we do what we call man conferences. And these are conferences that, gather, get a bunch of men together, and we just hit them and hit them and hit them with truth and fun, but truth. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
One day, a gentleman that's on my leadership team comes to me and says, Joe, could you give me a little creative freedom in this next conference? I said, sure. You don't have to tell me what it is, just do it. Now, here's a man who had a famous father, and that famous father was, he wasn't around a lot. And this kid was not in that same cut, if you will.
Yep.
And he felt it, and he never felt like he received the blessing from that father. So he wanted to do something at the conference that was very different. What he did was he honored his father on the stage. But he said to the men that were in attendance, gentlemen, maybe some of you have never received a blessing from your father.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to do right now is call all the pastors to the front of the room here, and they're going to spread out, and I want you to come forward and receive the blessing from these men. So what happened was 95% of the men got out of their seats and went up to a pastor to receive the blessing. And I'll never forget two people. One was a 70-year-old man who went to the oldest pastor, and he was bawling his eyes out, asking for the blessing. Another was a 15-year-old kid who couldn't even get out of his seat. He was so moved. This is the daddy wound. This is the blessing that everybody yearns for. And these men took it seriously and were just clamoring to receive it from someone else. That's how important it is.
That's great. Brother, thank you for sharing that. You've got quite a list of recognized folks in this book whose stories you share about the power of a father's influence. The actor Corbin Burnson, Eric Metaxas, Bill Parcells, Kevin Sorbo. You've got quite, I mentioned earlier, Alex Kendrick. Do you have a favorite story out of all those?
I do. It's Corbin Burnson. And the reason why is because Corbin Burnson was about as transparent as one can get. He talked about his father. Well, I'm going to say it. He was a cheater. He was a cheater on his mom many times, which led his mother to become a fall-down alcoholic. When he would go to school and, he didn't do well in school, he would blame his mother because there was not food on the table, there was no nurturing, there was nothing. And his father, who, again, was a womanizer and did all these things, wasn't really, great, would say to him this phrase, "Don't blame others for your failures." And I think that's really powerful. So what he's doing is he did a lot of things wrong, this man, but he gave those that one little phrase that stuck with Corbin, and he realized, he's right, I can't blame my mother, my father, or anybody else for that matter. There's only one person I need to look at, and that's the man in the mirror. Mm. And he did, and he changed his life. That was my favorite only because it was so real.
Yeah.
And I recognize that very well. How many of us are out there blaming somebody else for our failures?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jim, there's always a reason, and there's always an answer.
Amen. Would you name what you consider to be the top five things contributing to this enormous degree of absentee fathers in the home today?
Well, number one, I think it's lack of education. I think, like I said, my grandfather came off the boat of Italy. Well, you know, in Italy, you're just a strong man. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you wait for your wife does all the cooking, does everything for you. You are just the guy that's going to be the breadwinner, and there's really no interaction with your kids except teaching them a craft.
Mm-hmm.
They come to the United States, and now he has his son, and my father does it a little bit better. But I think what happens is there's a lot of cultural issues. There are a lot of, you know, traditional issues that take place, and men don't want to have that. I want to say they don't want to let their guard down,
mm-hmm.
and show a different side of them, making them understand the power of not only their words but their actions with their children. So I think education is one. I think selfishness is another one. I think what we've seen moving from the father knows best to father knows nothing generation, I think we see a lot of selfishness out there where, hey, it's all about you. I mean, all the marketing on TV is you know, you deserve this and
right.
you deserve that.
Right.
And I think that basically lends itself to, hey, listen, this marriage isn't working out. That's okay. Get out of it. Or, you know what, I don't need to get married. I could just have my fun, and if I leave some kids along the way, no big deal.
Right.
That's a selfish attitude. I also believe that men lack an inner circle. And let me explain what an inner circle was. I mean, Jesus had an inner circle. You know, he had the three. What I really preach is, man, if you do not have two or three men that you can absolutely trust with every, you know, fiber of your being, then you are missing out something.
Mm-hmm.
Because these men, if they are what they're supposed to be, they are going to hold you accountable. They're not going to be yes men and pat you on the back and tell you how great they are. Rather, they're going to hold you accountable. They're going to love on you. And if they see something wrong, they're going to point it out in love.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't have that, then we're just dealing, you know, we're just living fake lives. You know, it's the, hey, you know, who won the game yesterday? Or did you hear what's the weather like? No. Let's get down to life. We need to live life together. So I think strong relationships are extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
And loving your wife is another thing. You mm-hmm. know, your kids are looking at you, and they want to know that you love your wife, that you're not just going through life and that this is a, you know, a comfortable situation for you to come home from work, have dinner, and maybe give a look to the kids and maybe play with them once in a while. These are all things that I think contribute to society's challenge with fatherhood or men's approach to fatherhood today.
Mm-hmm.
We have lost our way.
Mm-hmm.
We have absolutely lost our way.
Thank you for sharing that. I think it's important not only for fathers to speak encouraging words, expressions of love, compliments, affirmations for the kids, but as I look back on what fathers were charged to do in God's Word, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11, God tells fathers, you need to fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds.
Yep.
Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children. Now teach what?
Mm-hmm.
God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up.
Mm-hmm.
Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give to your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. I think dads need to understand, men need to understand, that sharing God's word with our children is an all-day responsibility.
Yes,
it's,
it is.
It's not just something for, you know, once a year, let's take the kids on a camp out and talk to them about God. When you're getting up, when you're lying down, when you're going out, when you're coming in, it's an all-the-time kind of thing. And when dads struggle to know what to say. I don't know what I talk about. I mean, what am I going to say? Well, one thing that you should be saying is what God says. And if you're not spending time reading the scriptures, learning yourself, it makes it much more difficult. So I encourage dads, let that motivate you to spend time in the Word so that you have something to share with your kids. I know that there are people who would not be as inclined to eat well if they didn't have the responsibility of feeding others, moms and dads, who are much more diligent about the food in the home because they have responsibility for the kids physically. And the same is true. If you realize I have a responsibility to be teaching God's Word to my kids, that can motivate you as a man to get into God's Word.
If we do not get into God's Word, we cannot know who we are in Christ.
Amen.
There's not even a question about that. And we always say a legacy-minded man knows the Word of God.
Amen.
But he doesn't only know it, because there's so many people that can, you know, quote Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, but the reality is there's no fruit. There's nothing to show that they know what's in between those words, those chapters.
Not doing
it.
They're not doing it.
Exactly. So these are just words. We're flapping our gums, but we're not living it out. And I'll give you an example, because I think what happens is so many men have made so many mistakes with their children that they just figured, forget it, there's nothing I can do. But let me tell you something. Gentlemen, you always have a way back. There's always something you can do. As long as you have breath in your lungs and that child is still around, even though you might be disconnected from them, you can make a difference. And I'll give you an example. My son Joe was 8 years old, and I would take him on the side of the house, and we would play ball. I teach him how to play ball. Mm-hmm. And my deal with him was, Joey, if you hit the ball over my head, I'm going to buy you that pirate Lego ship you always wanted. Now, he never hit the ball over my head, or so I say. My son is now 27 years old. When he was about, 17, 20, 23, he would always, hey, Dad, you never got me that pirate Lego ship, and you never hit the ball over my head. When I moved him down to Florida from New Jersey, we drove down, a little bit of bickering going on, mm-hmm. because we're very much the same personality, so you always have that. But there was always that little bickering. We get down there, and we go to Walmart to get him all set up in his apartment. And I happen to walk through the Lego aisle at Walmart. And what do I see? The new version of the pirate Lego ship. And God just told me right then and there, you know what you have to do. I went home the next day and went to the Walmart here in Jersey, and I bought it. I wrapped it up, and I took a piece of legacy-minded men's stationery, and I wrote these words, and I'm paraphrasing. Joe, forgive the tardiness of this note, for I have continually watched you hit home run after home run in your life. I love you. A proud dad.
Praise God.
I wrapped it up. That was November of 2013. He was coming home for Christmas that year. He came home. We gave our gifts out, and when everything was passed out, I said, Joe, I got one more. This is from me to you, but here's the deal. You got to read the card first. Mm-hmm. He gets it. He reads the card. He throws his head back. And I could see he's going to well up now. And all he said was, I know what's in this box, which blew me away, Jim.
Yeah.
Blew me away.
Yeah.
And he opened it, and I could see the emotion in him. We went by my brother-in-law that day for Christmas, and my brother-in-law said to him, Joe, what'd you get for Christmas? And he comes next to me, puts his arm around me, and he said, my dad got me something that he never needs to get me anything else ever again.
Precious.
That changed our relationship. We had a good relationship. Now we have a phenomenal relationship. And here's the truth, and I would say this in front of him. I really believe, Joe, you never hit the ball over my head. But it doesn't matter. Because you thought you did.
Yeah.
And you know what? Guys, sometimes we got to swallow our pride and say we're wrong.
Yep.
We're wrong. And what's the difference? What could change if we simply said, I'm sorry? And in my case, it's been a beautiful thing.
Oh, that's great. Folks, my guest, Joe Pellegrino, has a wonderful book, and it's called Fathers Say, Give the Gift of Blessing to Your Children. I hope that this conversation today has been an encouragement and blessing to you, and that you'll let us hear from you. Have a great night. You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.